3 o'clock. I was not ranting and raving. I'm not someone who rants. I'm not someone
who
raves.
Ranting and raving?
I don't have those clubs in my bag, John Ireland.
I'm just yelling for no reason. All I was saying yesterday
is I thought that against Utah, the Lakers played a very listless, sluggish game without defensive intensity. And by the way, so far, Michael Thompson has agreed with me. Dave Pasch has agreed with me. I mean, everybody is on my side. And yet you treated me like I was a friggin' fourth grader yesterday when you were like, I'm Professor Ireland. I will teach you the game. I watch these. I've been doing this for a long time, too. Mm-hmm. I've been watching basketball for a long time, too. I don't miss a Lakers game. You can't treat me like a kindergartner.
What are you talking about? You don't miss a Lakers game. Every Laker game you've attended in the last 3 years, you've left early.
Here's the reality. I have a better view on television than I do at the arena. Let me just ask you, who has a better view of the game? You in the section 111 up there, sort of midway up the bowl, mm-hmm. or me getting all the close-ups and stuff on TV? Who's got a better view?
And you know this is the truth. Considering that it is after 4:20 on the clock, the answer is me. Right, Jorge?
Correcto, my friend.
Yes, that's probably right. I remember most of these games.
Most.
Yeah, I remember most of them.
You have no idea who we've ever had on the show. You can't remember any of that, but
this happens all the time. Lindsay mentioned somebody this week and said, yeah, I remember when we had him on the show. I think we had him on before. I have no recollection of that. I have no recollection of it.
The best one was you when you ranted and raved, just like you were in that clip.
I don't rant. I don't rave. That's not my game.
About how we've not only never had Kim Kardashian on the show, but that I was making it up to mock you, that and because you of course would remember Kim Kardashian, and that we've never had Kim Kardashian, and if we had Kim Kardashian, of course you would remember it. And then Jorge pulled up like three different Kim Kardashian interviews.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. By the way, you know, one of my great regrets, and I think we're going to get Bill Plunkett in here in a minute. I'd forgotten about Bill. Easy to forget about Bill.
What?
So,
come on, that's not nice.
One of the things that I regret is there was a night when I was in the press room and Kim and Kanye were both there. And Kim seemed very nice. She was talking to everybody. Bill's at 3:15. She was talking to everybody and was very friendly with the people who were working the kitchen in the press room and all
that
stuff. The staff. And I thought, God, what a picture with Kim Kardashian and Kanye West would do for my Instagram.
That
thing
sounds
would have
like
completely
you.
Blown up. And I just didn't have to go over there and get that picture. I sat there and actually discussed it with Andy Kamenetsky, saying, do I really have that in me to walk up to them and say, can I get a picture with you? And I just didn't. Something about it seemed unprofessional. Would that have been unprofessional?
With her?
Yeah, with her and Kanye.
No.
Her and Kanye. Hey, I want to get a picture with you guys.
Well, Kanye wouldn't do it.
You think Kanye wouldn't do it?
I know it. I walked up to him once to do it when I was the sideline guy for the Lakers. And I said, hey, Kanye. And he was there and Lamar Odom was playing in the game. And I knew they were friends. I said, hey, can I get you to talk about Lamar Odom? And he shouted me down. Kanye's a little bit out there.
He is out there. He is. And, of course, they are no more. That's what would make the picture even more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
They still haven't found Lady Gaga's dogs. She issued an emotional plea on Instagram today asking for the safe return of her beloved French bulldog. She's offering $500,000 in reward for their return. Still haven't gotten them.
And the kidnapper has made no request, demand?
The problem for the dog napper is that he shot somebody in order to get the bulldogs. If you show up, it's a sting operation. If you show up with the bulldogs to get a $500,000 check from Lady Gaga, well, you're going to get arrested for shooting the guy. So I don't know if the bulldogs would get back.
And I don't mean to make light of this because it's a real situation. But in the movies, what would happen is the dog napper would contact Lady Gaga and say, "You have to meet at 1 hour, do a drop off, and if I see any police or any indication that you've contacted authorities." That's it for the dogs.
Or just say you found the dogs wandering in the park.
Yeah, but then they do a
But if you're the guy, you don't think they're going to go after the guy?
By the way, why didn't she put a reward out for someone who shot the dog walker?
I think that's part of it. Well, for any information leading
although she
to...
says no questions asked is what she says.
Yeah, see, there you
so
go.
So she kind of just wants the dogs, her dogs back.
Yeah. Well, you could do what Ben Stiller did in Meet the Parents. You could go out and get dogs that look like her dogs.
Yeah.
But that never works.
Michael, what are we... By the way, your trial is coming up at 3:30. The trial of Michael Thompson over
It's your chance, Michael, to explain yourself.
On Wednesday.
I keep telling y'all I didn't cheat.
Let me tell you this. If you stick to that position, yep. It may not go well for you. We have hard evidence that is almost irrefutable.
All right.
So let's see what you do at 3:30.
Yeah. That is coming up.
But, Michael, what difference will it make if Dennis Schroeder comes back for the Lakers tonight? What does that provide that they haven't had?
Just someone else for Damian Lillard to light up.
Oh, come on, man.
No, he'll help. Of course he'll help. That's 15 to 20 points they can depend on from him. He is quicker as a defender, so he won't slow Damian, but at least he could stay in front of him a little bit better.
Hey, you always say, Michael, that whenever I ask you, like, how would you guard so-and-so, you always, most of the time, you will say, just let him shoot. But with Lillard, you can't do that, right? Because Lillard's range is basically anywhere inside half court. So if you were guarding Lillard, if you were talking to Clay about how to guard Dame, what do you tell him? Do you tell him to pick him up the second he steps into the front court?
Yeah, you got to be right on top of him, especially Clay's a little bit bigger, so he can be off a little bit more, but Damian pulls up anyway, but at least Clay is, I just tell Clay, at least don't let him beat you off the dribble. If he's going to shoot jumpers from 30 feet, it's nothing you can do about it. You're not going to block the shot, but don't give him both jumpers and drives to the basket.
By the way, and don't give him 3 free throws either.
Exactly.
Michael, does Lillard have a weakness in his game? I know you could say he's a little small defensively, but in terms of offense, does he have a weakness?
No, offensively, no. He can do it all. Defensively, he's small, so he can be exploited against bigger guys like Caldwell Pope and Caruso could post him up. Clay likes to take him in the post when they play against each other. But offensively, no. He has all the tools.
So, Mace, you know the last time we played Portland, it was just the third game of the season. It was December 28th, and it wasn't Lillard or McCollum that beat us. Do you remember that game at all, Mace?
It was third game of the season. No, I have no recollection.
Okay. Gary Trent Jr. scored a season-high 28 points, and here was his line. 10 of 14 from the field, 7 of 11 from 3. It was the second highest scoring total of his career. And, Michael, he's starting tonight. Gary Trent Jr. is starting because McCollum is out.
Yeah.
So you can't let him go off,
well,
right?
He's been playing well, too. He's a legitimate threat. And they took him out the last 5 minutes of the game. He didn't finish the game, remember?
Yeah, and they got away with it. Yeah. They won.
Michael, you know what I want to see tonight? I want to see some vim. I want to see some vigor. I want to see some intensity. I want him to play some defense.
Yeah.
I'm looking for some fight tonight. I didn't see that in the Utah game. I want to see it tonight. Ireland keeps saying the games don't matter. You know what? Then why watch them if the games don't matter?
Because the games are entertaining. What I'm saying is the games don't matter in the standings.
Did you find the Utah game to be entertaining?
For the first quarter, yes.
For the first quarter. We're there for four. I want to see some fight. I want to see him go at it. I want to see some hustle. I want to see some attitude. You know, tonight is a game that they can win. Tonight is a game that it is possible that they win this game. I want to see some fight out of this team. And I didn't see it on Monday night and by Wednesday night. And by the way, a lot of people 100% agree with me.
Yeah, that's code. You're using code words for they didn't try or didn't hustle.
Michael, what am I saying here?
Nothing. You're absolutely correct.
Yes.
Yeah, Ireland's making excuses, man. You're a good teacher to have. You make excuses.
You're very much I work for the team. You're a very I work for the team guy.
Well, as long as I do, someone has to represent that position, so it's me.
When they don't show up, you got to point it out, Ireland.
That's why you're here.
No, you could do it. You got to have to.
Let's see how that goes.
Okay. Here's a question. Have you guys seen the Tom Cruise deep fakes?
No, what is that?
Okay, so a deep fake is when you capture somebody's image. It could be somebody famous. It could be somebody in politics. In this case, it's Tom Cruise. And you, computer technology, you create their image, their body, everything, and you put words in their mouths. Okay, so I want you to listen to, again, this is Tom Cruise. It actually plays on the radio, but it looks exactly like him. He's talking exactly like him. It sounds exactly like him. He looks exactly like him, and he's doing a magic trick. So I want to play this for you and tell me if you don't think this is Tom Cruise.
I'm going to show you some magic. It's the real thing. I mean, it's all the real thing.
Okay. That's Tom Cruise doing a magic trick. Does that not sound exactly like his laugh?
I can't see it, so maybe I lose something there, but I didn't think it sounded exactly like Tom Cruise. Michael, what did you think?
No, I mean, you can tell he's trying to be Tom Cruise, but
you guys are crazy. It sounds
you
exactly
guys are crazy.
Like
that. Sounds
but keep
exactly
in mind, we
like
can't.
Tom
we Cruise. Haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's true. They haven't seen it.
Yeah, Mace, I think that you should post a video on your Twitter.
Yeah, I will post a video. It's crazy, but it raises a real ethical question. Because you can, with this technology, with this deep fake technology, you can put anything in somebody's mouth. You can have them do anything, even though they haven't done it. It's pure technology.
Yeah, it could be the end of someone's career.
No, you know, it could absolutely be the end of somebody's career because you're putting, think about politics. You get people saying weird things. And controversial things, and they're not really saying it. Lindsay, I find this to be the video in particular makes it 100% Tom Cruise. There is no question that it's Tom Cruise.
It looks like it's weird because it looks like it's a younger version of him from like, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or something like that. And it just, if you see it, the video along with the sound, it is Tom Cruise. And it's crazy that they can do that.
It's scary that they can do it. It's scary that they can do it. I'll tweet it out during the break, and you can take a look at it and then react.
Hey, let me ask you something, because we've got a couple minutes here. I got an email from an NBA fan, and they asked me here's the question, and it's kind of difficult. Which one of these players, I'm going to read you guys five names,
okay,
is most likely, to be named first team all NBA in his career. Okay?
Yep.
Here are the five. You can only pick one. Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum, Ja Morant, Devin Booker, Zion Williamson.
That is so tough.
Michael, what do you think?
First
Simmons,
team NBA.
Tatum, Morant, Booker, Zion.
Tatum. Because LeBron and KD are going to age out eventually, and he'll be the next one up.
Why Tatum over Zion?
Zion's too one-dimensional. Tatum has a more all-around game.
I actually think it might be Ben Simmons.
Wow, he's playing his ass off right now.
Because I think he's going to win, Michael, a Defensive Player of the Year award here, one of the next two or three years. And offensively, he has to get better, right? He has to learn how to shoot at some point.
No.
He can't go his whole career not shooting.
He's been in the league now, what, four or five years and still hasn't figured out a jump shot yet, a mid-range? No, so I doubt it. By now, even Jason Kidd, Magic, Michael Jordan, they had all improved their jump shots a lot by year four or five.
And I'm not sure Ja Morant isn't better than we all
think
he
is. Ja Morant is a spectacular talent.
Yeah. Tatum's the best all-around player in that group.
Best all-around player. I'll tell you what. Multiple of those guys, I think, are going to be first-team All-NBA at some point.
Right. I agree with you. But which one, if you could only pick one, to Simmons, Tatum, Morant, Booker, Zion, you can only pick one. Who gets there first?
Call me a sucker. I'm going Zion.
Who's he going to beat out in the front line? You got Jokic.
Well, we're talking about in his career, Michael.
I thought you said the next 5 years.
No, in his career.
Oh, in his career.
Next, but who's, like, the first one?
Well, that's what I said, Tatum. Tatum's going to get there in another couple of years.
Yeah, Tatum's right there. Jaylen Brown's having a great year. Tatum's having he's having a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Zion, I think, because, and this will ultimately carry him at some point, Zion because he's a gigantic star waiting to happen. I mean, when Zion is on the floor,
well,
he is your eyes are.
But to Michael's point, the guy with the most complete game of those five is Tatum. Tatum doesn't have a weakness. You know, he could improve a little defensively, I guess, but he's not a liability defensively.
And all those other guys have a weakness. Ja can't really shoot that well. Zion refuses to shoot outside the paint. Ben Simmons can't shoot at all.
Even though
I'll take either one of these guys on my team, but Tatum is the best all-around player of that group.
Booker's there, too. Booker's.
I forgot about
Great
Booker.
Great score. All right, coming up for you next, Bill Plunkett is going to join us. Corey Seager, are they going to talk deal during this season? Are they going to talk extension? Bill wrote about that yesterday. We got that coming up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For you. All right, the trial of Michael Thompson is coming up for you. In the meantime, it's always a trial for Bill Plunkett when he comes on the show. He's here on a trial basis. Bill Plunkett joins us. Are you at Camelback Ranch now, Bill?
I am nearby at my luxurious hotel.
I can only imagine. Bill Plunkett, of course, from the Southern California News Group. How is spring training so far?
You know, pretty dull. It's very strange having to do everything from a distance, not having any fans wandering the complex. It's because there are no fans, the ducks and geese have reclaimed the land and have taken over.
Wow. Yeah, that is interesting. Hey, Bill, you one of the things you've been writing about is Corey Seager, who is coming up on a contract at the perfect time for him. He's coming off of a World Series MVP award. He's proven that he's healthy after sitting out a couple of seasons ago. Why wouldn't the Dodgers get him signed? What would be the other side of that?
Well, it takes two to tango, and you're asking Scott Boras to be your dance partner.
Good point.
And he likes to take his guys out on the market and maximize, you know, their value. The other thing kind of underlying this, I think, and it's just my read of the situation from knowing and watching Corey for a few years, I'm not sure he wants to commit to a West Coast team. Mm. You know, he's a Carolina guy. He's not a Hollywood, you know, type. You remember Anthony Rendon? He doesn't like the Hollywood lifestyle. I'm not sure Corey, you know, would mind being closer to home. Now, that being said, his brother, Kyle, has played in Seattle for several years now. And, you know, they're used to the West Coast. It's not like it's a shock or anything. But I think given his druthers, he might pick an East Coast team. And if he gets to free agency, he will have his choice.
Bill, what's the impact of other marquee shortstop free agents being available during this offseason? I assume the Mets are going to sign Francisco Lindor since they traded for him, so I'm going to take him off the board. But Trevor Story is, I mean, he may be the best shortstop on the market this coming offseason. I think if given a choice, Trevor Story may be the best guy on the board. But Carlos Correa, you couldn't sign Carlos Correa because of the Astros cheating scandal. Javi Baez, I mean, there are really good shortstops on the market. How does that affect Seager's value, both on the market overall and to the Dodgers?
I think it's kind of a two-part question there. I think, you know, what's the saying, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Right, yep.
I think if any of those guys gets a big deal, everybody – you know, around him is going to applaud because it just increases theirs. Now, the flip side of that in the Seager and Dodgers situation, the fact that there are so many guys available gives them fallback options, which maybe they don't extend themselves quite as far with Corey. You know, beyond the top three, every scout will tell you the top three, Lindor, Story, Seager. And some of them might even go Lindor, Seager, Story, just because of the Coors Field question and whether, you know, how much of Trevor's offense carries elsewhere. But I think those are pretty clearly the top three.
But then you also have Baez. You have Correa. You have Marcus Semien. You have Andrelton Simmons. I think Didi Gregorius will be out there again next year. So, I mean, they're not as good as that top three, but you do have fallback options. And I think that kind of plays into it, too.
Bill Plunkett from the Southern California News Group is with us. Bill, whatever order you want to put them in, Trevor Bauer, Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler have the first three spots in the rotation locked down. I would assume David Price slides into the four, but tell me if I'm wrong about that. And then you look at the guys competing for that fifth starter role. I know they really like Dustin May. I think Julio Urias wants to be a starter. Tony Gonsolin's pretty good. What do spots four and five in the rotation look like, at least at the start of the season, from where you sit?
If everybody's healthy, Price is the four. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think Urias is the fifth. As much as, you know, I've probed and asked people, you know, as well as he pitched out of the bullpen in the postseason, do you maybe have a temptation to make Julio kind of a Josh Hader type weapon out of the bullpen?
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're interested in going that way. I think they see him as a starter. They think the postseason experience last year will only make him better because he'll be more confident. So I think he gets the fifth spot. I think Dustin May is going to be a problem for them. He has looked fantastic.
Yeah, I guess he touched 101 on the gun, I saw Roberts say.
So when you say, Bill, he's going
to
be...
who was not on the field at the time. He was on another field and hurt it secondhand.
Right.
But he's looked terrific.
So if that's true, if Dustin May... Let's take this and run with it a little bit. If Dustin May is the guy who comes out of spring training looking unhittable, for lack of a better word, what's his role if the rotation one through five goes the way you lined it up?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he becomes a hybrid type of role, pitching out of the bullpen, making occasional starts. You know, I've said this statistic so many times, I know it off the top of my head. Past 8 years, the Dodgers starting pitcher has had more than 4 days rest in 62% of their games. So they don't go with a straight five-man rotation. And the fact that they're going such an increased workload from last year to this, I think you're going to see a lot of six-man rotation. You're going to see a lot of, 10 days to the IL because, you know, you've got a hangnail and you can rest. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for that extra starter. Maybe Dustin May is that. I know everybody says, make him the closer. I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they move him to a strict bullpen role, because it's much easier to have a guy stretched out as a starter and then pull him back to be in the bullpen. You put a guy into the bullpen and then decide later that David Price is hurt and this guy isn't available and that guy's not, you need him to start again. It's much harder to then stretch him back out to be a starter. So I think you go from, you know, point A as a starter to point B, whatever role develops from there.
Let me ask you one more thing. Trevor Bauer is doing his thing. He got into a big Twitter fight with Noah Syndergaard. He's all over social media. He's like on Instagram, if you hate me, say it to my face, all this kind of stuff. How's all that playing at spring training?
Nobody cares. Honestly, nobody cares, really. We talked to Mookie today and that topic came up, and it's basically what he said. He said, we know who he is and he can be who he is. And as long as he's ready to pitch and compete, then we're fine with it. So it's much ado about nothing, really. I think it's, you know, it's Trevor trying to stamp his brand and, you know, as being the renegade, the rebel on social media. And that's fine. If that's what he wants to make his brand, as long as he's, you know, it doesn't interfere with what happens on the field.
By the way, Bill, last thing, because I follow you on Twitter and I think I understood this correctly. Is this the first time you've been, like, in the presence of Mookie Betts since the Dodgers signed him? That sounds weird, but I guess that could be true, right?
Close. He was here when he signed. They had the press conference at Dodger Stadium, or not when he signed, when he was traded.
Right.
He and Price. We were all here already. The camp was just about. It was the day that pitchers and catchers reported. So I was not at the press conference at Dodger Stadium. I was here for, you know, however long spring training lasted before it was shut
COVID
down.
Hit, right.
Yeah, and Mookie is not a hang around his locker guy. He was, you know, he kind of came through, got his stuff, and was gone. And you would only see him when he was working. And I don't recall interviewing him more than two, maybe three times during spring training before it shut down. So it was just a joke when I said that. I've never met him, but it was close.
Weird.
Surreal time. All right. Hey, Bill, thank you very much. Have a good weekend out there in Arizona, man. Light it up. Paint the town red.
Continue the afternoon nonsense.
Count on it.
Thank you, Bill.
Stay safe.
Thank you, Bill. All right. Coming up next for you, the trial of the century.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Thompson on trial. The charge is that he cheated during Game of Games on Wednesday. We have evidence. We will attempt to get a confession out of him coming up. And he will defend his case.
Or not.
Maybe he'll throw himself on the mercy of the court. We will find out. The trial of Michael Thompson is next. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The trial begins.
All right.
So we've heard much of the evidence. There was a game on Wednesday. It was my game. It was about the city of Los Angeles. There was a question about who invented the Venice canals. And you will notice that Michael Thompson, playing this game, actually asks me to repeat the name. I said H.J. Whitley. It was actually Abbot Kinney. Michael Thompson answered correctly, saying it was fiction, but he took that extra beat. And here is the audio from that. The Venice canals were originally designed by architect H.J. Whitley. Is that fact or is that fiction, Michael Thompson?
What's his name?
H.J. Whitley.
Fiction.
Michael says fiction. Lindsay.
Very long pause.
Okay, and then what really gets Michael in trouble, and you know I'm normally team Michael, is that Jorge saw him Googling, which Michael denies, so that's in dispute. But after Michael left, Adam Bronstein went into his computer and checked his search history. And in his search history was Venice canals.
Yep.
Why would Michael be Googling Venice canals and ask Mason to repeat the question to give him time for the search to complete? I think, and we have a picture of it, by the way.
We tweeted out a picture of it.
Now, Michael, you've heard the evidence. Before you answer, are you prepared to answer, by the way?
Well, you have to plead first. You plead guilty or not guilty?
Is he even there?
Michael's here. He's just ignoring us.
So that's his defense? Okay.
He's pleading the fifth.
Michael refuses to get on the mic.
For a show trial.
It's a show trial.
You're on a show.
Now, Michael, if you continue to take this position, you don't know, I'm looking for a way to bail you out. If you continue to take this position, I have a clip of what will happen to you on future Game of Games. And I know it's from somebody you respect deeply. So this will be your fate if you refuse to participate in this trial. Jorge, hit it.
Yes, I am banning you.
You're banning me from your house?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fine. I'm banned.
Good. Don't come back.
Don't worry, I won't.
There it is, Michael. You will be banned from Game of Games unless you provide either a proper defense or a plea.
The Bergman ban.
Wait, hold on. I want to step in here. I'm actually going to defend Michael Thompson.
Is no one going to let Michael talk?
No, I did not Google for the. I Googled after the fact.
Wait, that's your defense?
I wanted to know if it was actually true. So after I Googled because it intrigued me.
Michael, it wasn't true. It was fiction.
What do you mean?
You answered fiction.
Didn't I?
You answered
trial over.
But like I keep saying,
this is why you need a lawyer, Michael.
Yeah, I keep pleading. I did not look it up.
So here it is. This is all circumstantial evidence.
Yes. I'm a victim of circumstance.
We've all seen how Michael spells anything. You're telling me that he wrote out H.J. Whitley and spelled it out correctly to see who this person was
He wrote Venice Canals.
Yeah, but not at real time.
Don't stutter. Why are you stuttering?
That's why I keep trying to tell you guys.
He can Google afterwards because he wanted to see who actually was the Venice Canal person that made it. I am on Michael's side.
Thank you, Michael.
This is all circumstantial, and they're just coming after you for no reason.
If the site wasn't hit, you must have quit.
The only reason Bergman is on Michael's side is because he wasn't able to get Michael banned when he was producing the show.
That's not true.
I didn't look it up in real time. I looked it up after the fact.
All right, so everyone clearly has an agenda here. Yes. Mason and I think he cheated.
You guys are just racist.
Bergman is convinced he's innocent. Bronstein is a witness for us, for the prosecution.
Yeah,
We have a jury.
Well, Lindsay hasn't spoken up. I think we should let, we know where everyone stands except for Lindsay.
Lindsay's tougher than Marsha Clark.
Lindsay, you've heard Michael's explanation. You've heard his lawyer, Greg Bergman, defend him. You've heard Mason and I present the evidence, and we use Bronstein as a witness.
So Lindsay's Judge Lindsay?
Yes. So, Lindsay, you've considering everything you just heard, what say you?
I mean, do we have any forensic evidence that shows that Michael did indeed Google that term prior to the answer, like the determination of the question? Is there any way to show a timestamp of when Michael Googled that?
Believe it or not, I don't think there is, Mace. I rest my case.
No, now let me speak. Now, after Michael answered the question, I went into the studio and asked Michael to immediately hit the back button on his web browser.
What was on it?
It went to Google.
No, it went to Real GM.
No, but it,
no,
it,
but
it
Adam,
went to Google.
But wait a minute, Adam, GM. If it went to Google, that doesn't necessarily mean that he Googled Venice Canals before the question was answered.
There you go. See?
That's my point. I think there's no way to... Yeah, there's no way to determine exactly when the Googling occurred.
And I also Googled Eldridge Street because I wanted to see how steep it really is.
And to even bolster that, I myself, just the other day, we had a conversation. It wasn't during Game of Games, but remember when, John, you said that Michael told me during the show yesterday or during the game yesterday that KFC started in Salt Lake City.
Right.
And I didn't believe him. And, you know, after we went to the break, I Googled it because I was curious myself. So that's something that...
Is he gonna skate?
Because I'm innocent.
And you know he loves his history.
Yes.
This is a very thing that he does all the time.
I do it all the time. Look
he
up little things.
He needs to know.
That's right.
What we love about him. So
thank you, Greg.
I caught you in the middle of the. I caught you. I saw you, man.
How do you explain that? We have an eyewitness, Michael. George Briones is an eyewitness.
It was after Mason said whatever the answer was, George. Jeez.
All right. So let's go around the room and let's see what the final straw poll is on Michael's game.
Well, the only things that matters is Bergman and Lindsay's decision.
No, the only thing that matters is Lindsay because everybody else took a side.
So, Lindsay, you're declaring him not guilty?
Not guilty.
I think that considering we don't have the forensic evidence to track down the timestamp of when the Googling occurred, I think we must acquit the defendant.
That doesn't mean he's innocent.
What am I, OJ, all of a sudden?
Not guilty, not innocent.
Jeez.
This clip we have, this picture we have of the Venice Canals is like the glove that doesn't fit.
Yes,
it's ridiculous.
That's right. All right. Well, Michael, you have skated a not guilty verdict does not mean you're innocent. And you know, it just means you were found not
Mace,
guilty on a
you always suspect the black guy.
But Mace.
always goes there.
Mace,
always
you know what? If someone was covering this trial, like yep. in the media, the headline and the thing that people would take from this trial is, if the site wasn't hit, you must acquit.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. On the timeline. By the way, are we still doing Game of Games today? It's supposed to be my game?
Yes, we
yeah,
are.
Do you have a game? Game
yeah, today. I got a game.
Okay, good. You're it.
You guys have
Game of Games is coming up next for you. Michael will not be
Thank
able
you,
to
Lindsay.
Cheat on this one
I can't believe
it is
you
his game.
Judge Lindsay. She's a righteous judge. You're better than Judge Ito.
It's coming up next. System.
When is this going to show up on Law & Order?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
ESPN and Game of Games is sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They're our plumber. They want to be yours too. Call 1-800-584-4116. All right. It is Michael Thompson's game. The acquitted Michael Thompson.
Thank you.
We'll deliver today's game. And, Michael, what is the theme of this game?
My game today deals with names. Famous names in sports, famous athletes and people in sports who changed their names. I will give you their birth name. You tell me the name what they were known by in their sport or field. Your name is your buzzer. Just don't change your name like these people did.
Okay.
Like, for example, I'll say Steve Moskonski, and you would say?
It is Mishonski. He changed his name to Steve Mason.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Walker Smith Jr. Walker Smith Jr., 1950 sports legend, fighter, sweet.
Mason.
Go ahead, Mace.
Joe Louis?
Nope. 1950 Walker, sweet, sports legend, fighter, boxer.
He fought
sweet.
In the 50s?
Yes. Legendary fighter. Everybody give up?
I don't know.
Sugar Ray Robinson.
Okay. Sugar Ray Robinson. Oh, man, did you make this game really, really tough?
I gave you three great hints.
That's pretty obvious after the fact. It's like, sugar, sweet.
Yeah. Fighter, boxer.
We should have got that.
Brian Williams. Brian Williams, not the newscaster. Brian Williams.
Oh, John.
That John.
That's Bison Deli.
Bison, that's up. John's got
one. Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and he died, right, Michael?
Yeah, he was mysteriously disappeared.
He disappeared.
Feared murdered by his brother.
He's a basketball player, Mason. He played at the University of Arizona, and he was on those Bulls teams with Jordan and Pippen.
He dated Madonna.
That's right. All right, here's another one. Bobby Moore.
Oh, John.
Go ahead, John.
It's Ahmad Rashad.
There you go. Very good. Come on, Lindsay. You should know these. Here's one everybody should get. Ready, everybody? Yep. Vince Jackson. Vince Jackson.
Jorge, is it Bo?
Bo Jackson, that's right.
Yeah. Ah, nice, Jorge.
Here's another one. Edson Nascimento. Edson.
Jorge.
Jorge.
Pelé.
Pelé. There you go. I knew Pelé. Jorge would get that one. Chris Jackson. Chris Jackson, known as.
John.
John.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Yes.
Oh, my
God. I am not
going to
pull that. Who is going to know that except John?
He played with LSU at LSU with Shaq.
World famous athlete here, Terry Boea. Terry Boea.
John.
Lindsay, I was there first.
Lindsay got it first. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Hulk Hogan.
That's right. Yeah, Hulk Hogan.
I know that one because he spent a lot of time in a courtroom.
James Owens. James.
Mason.
Mason.
Jesse Owens?
Yes, sir. Jesse Owens.
Okay, Mace is on the board. So right now it's Ireland 3, Jorge 2, Mason Lindsay 1 each.
Mabner Rodney Hilario. Mabner Rodney Hilario. What was he known for in his sport or known as? Blame it on Rio, Brazil.
John.
Mason.
John.
Mace, go ahead. Take a shot.
Go ahead, Mace.
I will say it was Usain Bolt.
No.
Michael, was it Nene?
Nene.
Okay.
The hint. Blame it on Rio. Brazil.
Oh. Brazil.
Angelo Sicily.
Mason.
Go ahead, Mace.
Don't know it. I was just buzzing in.
Angelo Siciliano. Hints are muscles, world map, comic books. Muscles, world map, comic books. Muscles.
Oh, I know it now.
Go ahead, Mace.
I already buzzed in.
Oh, you did?
Lindsay,
oh, go
Lindsay.
Lindsay, go ahead.
I don't know if, don't make fun of me if this is wrong, but is it Teddy Atlas? No.
Close, but I can't give it to you.
Okay.
Anybody want to take a guess?
I think I know it.
I don't know it.
Charles Atlas.
No, it was close. It was his kid.
Cornelius McGillicuddy, baseball player, manager, executive in the 1930s and 40s. Baseball player.
Good on, Lord.
Very famous name. Very famous name. Everybody give up?
Yes.
Yeah. Connie Mack.
That's tough.
Howard Cohen. Howard Mason. Cohen. Mason.
I'll go Howard Cosell.
Very good, Mace.
Okay.
Chase's name to Cosell in honor of his grandfather. Here's
right,
one.
Michael, do five.
Michael,
more.
How many are these?
I got one, two, three,
do you
four.
Have any, do you have any from the 1800s?
But these are all famous people.
We're running out of time, Michael. Five more. Go.
Andre Rusimov.
Mason.
Lindsay. Mace.
Andre the Giant.
Very good. See, you guys know.
Right,
here's one.
You're one back. You have. I have four. You have three.
Kevin Aloysius Connors, Celtic. Actor. Rifle.
Oh, John.
John.
Chuck Connors.
Chuck Connors. That's
Chuck
right.
Chuck Connors. You've got five, John?
Yeah, three more, though, and you've got three.
Billy Moffitt. Michael Jackson. Female Stadium. Michael Jackson. Female Stadium. Billy Moffitt. Michael Jackson. Female Stadium.
Jorge.
Billie Jean King. There you go.
Two more. You guys got it. If I get one, it's over. If you guys get it.
What did Michael Jackson have to do with Billie Jean?
Billie Jean.
Oh, Billie Jean.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, two more.
Fred Phillips, 16-time champion, dirtiest player in the game, signature howl. Phillips, 16-time.
Mason.
Mason.
Fred the Hammer Williamson.
No. Fred Phillips. Come on, Lindsay. It's pulling for you. 16-time champion, dirtiest player in the game. Signature howl. Okay, I'll give you the howl. Woo!
Oh, John.
Okay.
John.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. There you go.
I didn't even know that was his real name.
Yeah, that's his real name. And that's it, folks. Who won?
Ireland wins.
Again.
Yeah.
But, Michael, that was a good game.
Thank you.
That was a good game.
Yeah. I don't know the 1930s like you do,
but
Michael.
But Connie Mack, I mean, you're a baseball historian. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you're digging back there.
Yeah,
you're
I wasn't back. Fast enough on my Google machine.
And I couldn't Google it fast enough.
See, there you guys go Google. Again, accusing me. And Lindsay was so close with Teddy Atlas, but it was Charles Atlas.
Yeah, it was Charles Atlas. All right, so guys, tonight we've got Lakers and Portland. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a chippy game. I'm looking for a little vim. I'm looking for
me
a
too.
Little fight out there. I'm looking for a little fire. I'm looking for defensive intensity. Michael, are we going to get it?
Yes, I said 3-1 over the next four games, so this is the one of the three.
Ireland, are we going to get it? Are we going to get the same old listless, sluggish performance that we got against Utah?
I disagree with your assessment of their past performance, but my answer to you is yes, if somebody guards Damian Lillard, which is easier said than done.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard lights up the Lakers almost every time he comes to Staples.
He hates
no CJ McCollum, no Yusuf Nurkic, real chance for the Lakers tonight.
Let's go, Damian Jones. Hope they give him some minutes. I love
that kid. Yeah, Damian Jones, brand new signee. Damian Jones, 10-day contract.
Yeah.
He was a free agent. He's a big. He's got the ability to block a shot.
Yep.
And we'll see exactly what he's able to bring to the table if he actually gets into the game.
If he gets in.
Sedano, LZ Cap. Next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.